Come, thou Lord Jesus, don't tarry, don't wait. Come and receive us safely. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to our text for this evening, a reading from Mark chapter 10. Actually, if you've been with us the last several weeks, this is the third of the weeks that we'll be looking at Mark chapter 10, verses after verses. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor reminded us that Jesus invited the children to come to him. The disciples tried to keep the little ones away, and Jesus became angry and said, "Let them come to me. I love them and all of God's children." In that lesson also, the Pharisees were trying to trip up Jesus, trying to trick him by what they asked him and hoping that he would somehow give a wrong answer. Last week, we looked at a young man who came to Jesus, a very wealthy young man. And as that man came to Jesus, he wanted to come into the kingdom of God. He desired to be able to live with God forever in eternal life. And so the question that that young man asked was, "Lord, what do I have to do to be saved?" Now, I told you, if you were with us last weekend, that that was not a lesson so much about money. What that lesson was about for this young man's life is that nothing should get in the way of his following Jesus. God didn't want him, he doesn't want us to be separated from God, whatever it is that puts that distance between God and us. Tonight's lesson, however, is about money. Another man comes to Jesus, and Jesus speaks to him. Jesus speaks to all of his followers, those who had gathered in those crowds who had come to hear him preach and teach. And Jesus said to the disciples and any others who would listen is, "It's difficult for a rich person to be saved." Now, that amazed the disciples. I think the disciples and others thought, you know, if somebody's really wealthy, it must be a sign that God blesses them. It must be a sign that God loves them in special ways, and that's why God allows them or God gives them all these things. But Jesus turned it upside down. And Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples wondered, they worried, they couldn't figure it out. And what Jesus said is, sometimes you see, when your hands are so full of things, you have a tendency to look at your hands and those things instead of the one above who gave it all to you. I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Well, probably most of us would say, well, that's somebody else, because after all, I'm not rich. Truly? Truly, we are rich by the standards of much of the world. As you travel, as you listen, as the youth tonight are concerned about famine and people who are without food and daily blessings to be able to get along from day to day, they know, we know, that we're rich compared to many around the world. Do you have any of these blessings? Maybe not quite as fancy a house as that, but do you have a place to live? Maybe not a car quite as fancy as that one, but do you have transportation? A boat or recreation? Maybe not a pile of money, but do you have money that you can use daily for your daily needs? We pray in the Lord's Prayer, and we will in just a few moments, "Give us today our daily bread, and Lord, give us our daily bread on a daily basis. Whatever we need today to supply our needs. And give us the faith and courage to believe that not only do you give it today, but tomorrow when we ask, you'll give it then. And the day after that, you'll give it. And the day after that, and the day after that." You truly are blessed. You are rich in many ways. And so Jesus' words from our text for tonight are not just for the super wealthy, those that you see on the lives of the rich and the famous, but these words are for us to hear too. God has blessed you in so many ways. Make sure that you keep your eyes focused on Him. It's his desire that you come into his kingdom, and he doesn't want any of these things that he gives us to distract us from that most important joy and opportunity. In our text, Jesus says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to get to heaven. Well, I suppose most of us have this kind of an image in mind. When you think of the eye of the needle, you think of that sewing needle, and you think of a camel going through it. Well, is that possible? Is it possible? No, of course not. It's not possible for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. So is that what you suppose Jesus was saying? It's absolutely impossible for a person with wealth, a person with things, to get to heaven. No, that's not what he meant. But this is what he meant. You see, in biblical times, there were times when animals and when people needed to get through the city gates and through walls. Those city gates were closed in the evening to make sure that armies, that invaders, that enemies couldn't sneak into the city, they couldn't attack at night and destroy the city. So often, large gates were closed, but so that people and animals, so that commerce could be able to get into the city without the fear of opening those great doors, in the walls were places called the eye of a needle. That's what Jesus was talking about. Is it possible for a camel to get through the eye of a needle? And the answer is yes. Is it easy? That answer is no. See, if a camel was in a caravan, if he was laden with possessions of some sort, his master would bring him to the eye of the needle. And if he couldn't get in through the main gate, the camel would kneel down like you see here. The owner would dispossess it of all the goods that were on it. In other words, they'd unload the camel. The camel could creep through and it would crawl through the eye of the needle. The goods and possessions could be carried through, reloaded on the camel, and then they'd go on their way. Was it easy? No. Was it possible? Yes. And that's what Jesus was saying. As hard as this is to do, so it's also hard for people with stuff not to get distracted by their stuff. We attain it. We try to gather it. We maintain it. We protect it. We try to grow it. And all of that takes a lot of time and effort. And it can be a blessing, but it can also be a distraction that keeps us from those things of God. God calls us today to pay attention to the thing that's most important, and that's coming into his kingdom, being able to live with him forevermore. You know, if the truth would be told, it's impossible for any person to get into heaven by themselves. See, the picture is that heaven has these high, thick, impregnable walls, and there's no way for us on our own, by ourselves, to get through or over or under that wall. It's impossible for any person to be saved. But it's not impossible for God. Did you hear that in the lessons for tonight? It's impossible with man, but not impossible with God. We know that it's God's desire that he be with us and we be with him for all of eternity. Ezekiel chapter 33 says, "I desire not the death of the wicked, but that they would turn from their ways and be saved." What did Jesus say in John? He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, one day you will also be." It is God's desire that you and all of creation be saved. But only those who believe in Christ will be saved. By ourselves, it's not possible, but God has made it possible for you and me and all who believe in the sacrifice of Jesus. Knowing that Jesus went to the cross to take your sins and mine, the sins of distraction, the sins of idolatry, when it's the things that possess us and the things that distract us, he forgives us. He loves us. He calls you. He beckons you. Come, be free, be saved, believe, and then live with joy as disciples, living for me with the prospect and the promise of one day coming into my heavenly kingdom. There are many sorts of distractions in our world, and sometimes those distractions can be fun, and sometimes they can be deadly. What happens with a magician? Does real magic take place? I hope not to disillusion anyone, but most often the magician does a sleight of hand. By distracting your attention here, then something else happens here, and it looks to be magic. Seems like fun. It's not harmful at all. But sometimes those distractions can be harmful. This guy looks like he's so busy with his work. Can you see what he's doing? I'm not sure that would be real pleasant to eat his breakfast cereal with the orange juice on it, but it wouldn't kill him. How about this distraction? Texting while driving. That, you know, can be deadly, and in many cases has been, to the driver and to those who are injured or even killed by someone sadly, badly distracted. Jesus doesn't want you or me to be distracted. He gives us many blessings in this life. He gives us the blessing of family. He gives us the blessings of material wealth, material possessions. He gives us what we need to support this body and life on a daily basis. He gives us our daily bread in a daily way. And he gives us also work and opportunity to serve him and to serve others. And he calls us to do those things joyfully, always putting the first thing first, and that's him. Not to be distracted, but to hear him calling, "I love you, and I forgive you, and I prepare for you a place for me, with me, in my kingdom forever." He calls us then to run the Christian race, run the life set before us. Like Paul says in the New Testament, he says, "I have run the good race, I have fought the good faith. Now is laid up for me the crown of eternal life." That's the crown prepared for you by Jesus. And he wills you, he desires you to take it. He doesn't want you to be distracted, but he wants you and me and the world to come into his kingdom with joy. It can be a hard thing, but with God, all things are possible. Go in that confidence, go in that strength, go with that joy and peace. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ, who is our Savior and Lord. Amen.